Welcome to Cuz We're Nerds, the podcast that covers trends and new releases in comics, movies, video games, board games, and much more. I'm your host, Caleb, and with me is my cousin, Zach.
Shazam!
The summer movie craze is here, and that means it's time for movie madness. From now until July, we'll be reviewing a newly released movie nearly every week. Today, we kick things off with Shazam. Is DC's latest effort able to succeed where others have failed? How does it compare to this year's other superhero movies? And what does it mean for the future of the DCEU? Find out on this week's episode of 'Cause We're Nerds.
So Shazam aside, and DC Universe aside, and everything DC aside, have you gotten your Avengers Endgame tickets?
Oh, man. Have I? I only sat there waiting for an hour and a half trying to get them because all the dumb websites crashed. Yeah, I was ready. It was so frustrating because I had heard that they're probably going to go live Tuesday.
Yep.
And it was a question of when. It was like, well, it could go live at 8, it could go live at 10, but it's probably going to be at 9. Unfortunately, Tuesday was the day after April Fool's Day. And my boss was out of the office. So I think I mentioned this last week, maybe. We covered his office in foil.
Nice.
And so he came in at 8 and we were watching him. And then I realized, oh, it's 20 minutes. I should go see if they went on sale. And of course they did. And no. All the sites were down. So it took me forever.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Easy peasy. We got him at Man Theaters here in the cities. And so they don't. As far as I know, Fandango, they don't go through Fandango. Mm. Well, I think you can find maybe a couple movies. It was really strange, only a couple movies, but like they don't. So like when it released, like Man Theaters, like they, cause they're a private, what, they're not like AMC, right? So they're pretty local. So, they didn't update their website yet. I shouldn't say they're local. They're not local. They're, I think they're, in other states as well, but they're just not, they're a smaller company. Okay. So. But the theater we go to, it's we're sitting a row behind where we went to go see Infinity War.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Yeah, I think now that you mention it, you had the same thing happen with Infinity War.
Yes, I did. Yep. So I just had to watch it. And so I watched it. And by the time, you know, and I, you know, I kind of checked it out every hour. And eventually that night it popped up and I was able to get the tickets. And I think only like 4 seats had been bought. So super easy. Wow.
Yeah, yep. Mine was super frustrating because I was trying to go through AMC because we have the Stubbs thing, the A-list. And so I wanted to get my ticket for free, but it wasn't working. And I like got all the way through to actually purchase the tickets. And every time I clicked finish, it failed. And it was infuriating because I thought that my seats were going to be taken.
No. But alas, you have gotten the tickets.
That's right. I got 5. Me and some friends are all going to go. It'll be a good time. But I'm on a media blackout for Endgame at this point. The last thing I watched was the little trailer thing that they put out for the tickets. And I'm not looking at anything else. My boss came in this morning and was like, hey, man, they had a scene for Avengers Endgame on the news this morning. And I said, don't say a word.
Yep,
I don't want to know.
All I know is it has to do with Captain Marvel, but I saw that on YouTube and I'm like, I'm not even going to press it. Like, yep. I don't want to know.
I didn't even know that. So yeah, I'm excited for this. He asked what my predictions were. He actually just watched Infinity War for the first time on Friday.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
I had a friend who watched it and was just like shocked. He had never seen a lot of the Marvel movies, so he started watching them all in order and just ended with Infinity War and he had never seen it. And he was like rocked. He's like, dude. I'm like, yeah. Yep, they all die.
I know, right? So, yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to Endgame. But we're not here to talk about Endgame.
We're
here to talk about Shazam.
Oh.
What?
Bye. I'm just kidding. Yes, and so to those listeners who've been keeping track of me talking about how I was not going to go see this movie because it looked rather just average. I saw it opening night.
Wow, quick turnaround.
So that happened.
Yeah, so I saw this in IMAX actually by myself because Courtney was on spring break and she was out of town. So this is the first superhero movie I've seen by myself in ever, maybe?
All by myself.
Don't wanna be.
Bye. Yes.
So whenever I hear that song, the only thing I think of is this Disney Channel movie they had back in the day called Under Wraps.
Yeah.
And it was this mummy that had come to life, and it was lonely, and they had that song in it at one point. That's all I think about.
Nice, nice.
Anyway.
How about Lonely Islands? No, not Lonely Islands. Flight of the Conchords, Robots.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely different. But
I don't know why.
0000001. Oh, great band. If you've never heard of Flight of the Conchords, definitely go check them out.
Look them up. Check them up. Check them out.
So,
hit them up.
Speaking of funny things, this movie came out this past week, and I was trying to do some research on what?
I was just booing that transition.
Okay. Oh. Look, man.
We'll get into it when we get
into it. Look, man.
We'll
get into it. Best. Pretty tired.
Just living your best life right now. Guys, this is just Caleb. He's trying to live his best life. Stop hating.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anyway, I was trying to look up the history for this movie, like the development process. And as opposed to a lot of the movies that we talk about that have had very lengthy development times and on and off, this didn't have as much. They did try to start it in the early 2000s, and that kind of ended up falling off the train because they made Speed Racer, which didn't do very well.
Oh, boo.
Yep. And so the studio decided it should be darker because Speed Racer was light and fluffy and people didn't like it. And the people that were developing it at the time said, nope, we're out. And it was pretty much dead until they actually officially announced it in 2017. So that's a pretty quick turnaround.
Okay.
And aside from maybe sort of kind of casting The Rock as Black Adam back in like 2008 or so, there really hasn't been much headway on this movie at all.
No.
So we do get this movie, which casts Zachary Levi as Shazam. Zachary, of course, we know from the Marvel Universe. He played Fandral in two of the Thor movies, not too much praise because they quickly killed him off.
True.
But pretty good. My transitions aren't working very well today.
It's fine. It's all fine.
As always, we're going to do no spoilers first, and then we'll jump into spoilers later, and we'll be sure to tell you about that before we go in. But, Zach, right off the bat, what'd you think of this movie?
You know what? I went in having no expectations. Other than I didn't really like the suit and Zachary Levi in it. I will say, in the movie, I guess it didn't really bother me. He looked fine. I guess it was just in trailers. It just didn't look right. But in the movie, it was fine.
Hmm.
You know what? This movie, it was a good action movie. I have some complaints about some things I didn't like or some directions that I don't think it went in the right direction. But overall, I can't complain. I thought Captain Marvel was a, just comparing superhero movies, I thought Captain Marvel was a better superhero movie, but that's only because of all the tie-ins Captain Marvel had. I thought if this movie had as many tie-ins as Captain Marvel had, it would be a lot better movie. And so, I mean, it made me, in a way, excited to see what the DCU does in the future, but also sad knowing that they've talked about just doing individual movies. And so, you know, seeing Shazam and being like, that would be sweet to have him appear in Justice League and build out this whole universe like Marvel's done. But all in all, great movie. I mean, all in all, good, solid action movie.
That's surprising. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I was going to say, how about you?
That's really surprising to me because I distinctly came out of the movie thinking, wow, that was better than Captain Marvel.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, because Captain Marvel is the last one that came out. And also, I mean, Shazam is Captain Marvel, was Captain Marvel, however you want to look at it.
True.
So it's a pretty easy comparison to make. I liked this way better. In fact, I'm going to take a step further and say that this is the best DCEU movie, period. With the slight exception, potentially, of Man of Steel, because I have not seen Man of Steel maybe since it came out. So that one I don't remember as well.
Sure.
But I liked this one a lot. It was very funny. I remember I was walking out of the office and one of my friends had seen it previously because Fandango did like a pre-release screening like 2 or 3 weeks before this came out. And he went to that and he said, I think you're going to like it. And I'm like, look, man, I just want it to be funny. I'm just looking for a funny, good time. And this movie is funny, but it is surprisingly dark.
Yeah, and I guess right off the bat, I'll go ahead and talk about this. Is this movie funny? Somewhat. I think it could have been funnier. I don't think it was like hilarious. I thought, you know, I giggled. Zach giggled in his seat a few times, but
yeah.
I chuckled. But, you know, it didn't ever get past a chuckle. But yeah, this is dark. And I actually think that was a bad turn for this movie. I didn't mind it as far as storytelling goes. I thought it was fine. But I thought that box office wise, they're doing fine. So they probably went in the right direction. But I think I work with kids, right? And so I think Shazam is one of the best kid superheroes because, okay, yes, you have Batman, you have Superman, and any kid can imagine themselves being Superman, Batman, etc. However, Shazam, anybody, like a kid, you can actually be Shazam because Shazam is a kid who just says Shazam and turns, you know, super. So it's like if you're playing out in the backyard, it's easy to imagine yourself as Shazam because you just say the word, you're a superhero, right? And so, but no parent, no, I shouldn't say no parent. If you are a parent, you should probably not be taking your elementary kid to this movie. I'll just say that. Like, it is really dark. It was incredibly dark.
Yeah. I mean, the trailers gave no indication of how dark this would be. like to the point where, you know, people are losing heads, getting bitten off, and people are turning to ash very Infinity War style.
darker.
More intense. And to me, I didn't mind it. But when it first happened, it was a bit of a shell shock being like, oh, okay, that's the kind of movie we're in. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I love what you said, Caleb. The trailers didn't prep you for it. And that was kind of a gripe in the movie. The trailers, I mean, as a trailer should, showed off the best parts of a movie. And I thought the best parts of this movie was when Billy Batson was learning how to use his powers as Shazam during all those training bits. Like those were hilarious. They were the best part, in my opinion. And a lot of the trailers basically just showed that part. But they didn't really show any of the seven deadly sins and anything else. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Talking about them, I did a little bit of research. Most of this, I'll save that till spoilers. What else? Let's see. The movie, I enjoyed it. I did think it was a bit long. I think that the
end fight drug on a tad too long.
Yeah, in my opinion. The first half, I say that this is the best DCEU movie. The first half, I thought, hands down, no questions asked. Once the second half started, that's where I started to go, well, maybe Man of Steel, because it's been so long since I've seen it, I don't really remember. Because the second half, it's not as fluid, I don't think. It's not as funny. It's not as fun. Definitely the final fight drags on a little bit too long, and I think there's some dead space in there. This movie's about 2 hours long. I think they could have cut it back to maybe an hour 45 and not really lost anything. It would have been a better movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Earlier you mentioned references. You liked Captain Marvel because of the references, and I don't want to spoil any of the stuff too much here, but this movie actually has a ton of references to the rest of the DCEU, way more than any other DC movie up until this point. Did you like that? Did you think it felt forced?
No, I know some of the references you're talking about. I thought it was fine. I thought the references that they had, it worked, but it also felt like a self-contained movie. It felt more like a self-contained movie because it is a self-contained movie, right? And so, I'm talking more references. So going back to Captain Marvel, right? Like we saw Nick Fury, we saw Coulson, we saw, you know, people in other movies basically that you tied in versus this is just very self-contained.
Okay. So you don't want references so much as like actual connections.
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's fair. The action in this movie, pretty good. It was pretty entertaining. I was a little unsure about Zachary Levi as Shazam. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to pull off the little kid stuff. Like, I wasn't sure if the Shazam versus Billy Batson would feel like they're two different people. I think that they do a really good job of making them feel like one person.
Yeah, they do. I would have to agree with that. It threw me off guard a little bit that Shazam is a little more quirkier than Billy Batson, but he's an adult, so you'd think that would be reversed. But now I'm blanking. Who's Billy Batson's friend? What?
Freddy,
right?
Yeah.
But Freddy, I think, makes a statement like he's like, "I like you better because you're the real you," or something like that when he Shazam. So I think that cleared it up, enough for me to.
Yeah.
Be okay with it.
And to me, that makes sense. I mean, what happens if you give a child complete power over something? They go insane, right? I mean, you probably know this better than I do.
True.
And what you do. But if you had a kid and you just grew him up and made him look like an adult, but he's still a kid, I think that it would go to his head and he would be kind of annoying and more like what's portrayed in this film.
True.
All around acting pretty good. There is a bit of hamminess from Mark Strong as Dr. Savannah, but I think it's all in good fun. And I didn't even notice that, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Jimon Hounsou, was the wizard Shazam. Did you recognize him?
I didn't. I can't say I did.
So that's the guy that plays Korath in Guardians.
Oh, got it. Okay, sure.
Yeah, so he's completely unrecognizable. He's covered in white hair, so that was kind of funny. Also, it was great to see John Glover back, knowing him from his days as Lionel Luthor in Smallville.
Okay, yep.
That was a fun callback. But all around, acting pretty great, good stuff. I will say, before we go into spoilers, that the first half of this movie, the part that I enjoyed the most, is one of the most comic booky movies that I have ever seen. The way that it embraced it and the way that it was not apologetic for it, it felt really great to me.
Now, how do you think it compared to Aquaman? Because I still haven't seen it. But I heard Aquaman was kind of the same.
Aquaman does do that, although I don't know if it always feels like a comic book per se. It embraces those hokey elements in a very serious way, and I feel like this one does it, but it makes it serious when it needs to be, but it's also very tongue-in-cheek when it wants to be as well, which really plays to the strengths, and Aquaman doesn't really do that. It pretty much plays it straight for the whole movie, and the stuff that comes from the comics, for the most part, is stuff that doesn't feel like it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Sure.
So, overall, yeah, I would definitely say go see this movie if you haven't. It is pretty fantastic. And like I said, best DCU movie to date.
Interesting. All right, spoilers. So I kind of already... spoiler time?
Yeah, spoilers.
Okay, spoiler time. So I kind of already dropped this. So it's not a huge spoiler. It's just it's not really, I feel like, in the trailers at all. And that would be the seven deadly sins. So that's kind of like the enemy here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with them, seven deadly sins would be envy, sloth, pride, wrath, gluttony, lust, and greed.
Is that what you've been looking up over there this whole time?
Yes.
I just hear the keyboard moving.
I'm like, I need to find these. So those are the seven deadly sins. One of my gripes about this movie is that, you know, I mean, I knew these going into the movie, but like, I wish they would have stated the sins, and Shazam does at the end of the movie, very briefly. I wish they would have stated each sin on the front end and tied it to that monster, because the whole entire movie, I kept guessing. I'm like, okay, who is that? Like, for example, and I still don't know. So like the one with wings, is that Wrath? I'm assuming that's Wrath with like the claws and the wings, but I have no idea.
Yeah,
like
I don't
Gluttony,
know.
Gluttony was easy. That one was an easy one. He called out...
Greed.
Well, was it greed or was it envy he called out?
Well, during the movie.
No, greed's the one with the four arms. You're right. Yeah, yes. Greed's the one with the four arms. Yes.
Yeah.
He calls out the little one, which would be envy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember the rest.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't remember, like, which one was lust, which I think was the one with the big tongue, would be my guess. It had a long, really long tongue. I didn't
even notice there was one with
the tongue. Yeah, there's one. It had like a snake tongue. It was like, it had a really creepy moment. But then like, I don't know which one pride was. which one Sloth was. It, and I was interested in it. So that was like, meh.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to say in non-spoilers was I did a little bit of research, and this entire movie is actually based pretty much on the first arc of the New 52 Shazam, pretty much beat for beat, and the Seven Deadly Sins are in that, and in that version, they are all very individualized. They all have their own looks. Think of like the Justice League, right? How they all have very different looks. That's how they are. And in this movie, they've turned them into generic, samey looking creatures. And I get it. They're not the focus. You want Dr. Savannah to be the focus.
Correct. Correct.
But I kind of have an issue with when they do this in movies. It just feels, it feels like a waste. It feels like they could have done something more. And I don't know why you would do that unless you're trying to avoid giving screen time to those characters.
Which one makes sense?
Well, from a screenwriting standpoint, it might, because this is an origin movie, which means they've got a lot of people to give screen time to. I mean, not only do you have Billy Batson and Dr. Savannah, you've also got the entire family that Billy is brought into that all need screen time. And I guess if you were to give each of the Seven Deadly Sins their own personality, they would need to be developed as a fully fleshed out character. And that would take screen time away from other characters. So
I guess that's right. And it's already a long movie.
Yeah. And so I could see that argument, but I still feel like there might be a better in between or a better, I don't know, a better compromise. I mean, in Infinity War, we still had the Black Order. They were kind of a big part of that. Not really. They're mostly forgettable, but they are all look individualized. You know, they could have done something a little bit more like that, which would have been maybe not as fulfilling as having them being full fleshed out characters,
sure,
but a good compromise.
Fair enough. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. The Shazam family.
Mm.
Did you know that was going to happen?
I did not. So that caught me off guard. And what Caleb was talking about is these foster care kiddos that he's with, which I thought they did a great job individualizing each one of them.
I agree.
And it was a funny bit when he's like, I did have to say the part that made me laugh the most was when they tried to escape Dr. Savannah near the final act. And the first thing he thought of was that strip club. went to the strip club. That was really funny. Anyway, so what he's talking about is at the end, Shazam basically uses his power to give the rest of Billy Batson's, you know, other foster kids their powers. So everybody turns into an adult and gets their powers. So I was not expecting that at all. And I have a question about that too. So I'm not really familiar with a lot of the DC comics or Shazam at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously a thing. So do they all maintain their powers? Because at the end, I wasn't clear if just Billy Batson's still Shazam and that's it, or if they all now can turn into a Shazam person.
Sure.
Superhero.
So I am also not massive DC person, and I don't know exactly, but what I think is that they all still have the powers. Shazam has the powers because he did the same thing with the wizard, so it would make sense that they all still have the powers, and they're a family. And my understanding is, yeah, once they get the powers, they have them forever, and that's the way it is in the comics.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So that was actually spoiled for me. I was super... Well, I wasn't frustrated at the time because I didn't care about the movie as much, but it was put in the headline of a website that I go to, and it was kind of annoying because I wouldn't have known that. Like, some headlines, even if they put a spoiler warning in it, if they're worded a certain way, you know what it means. This movie, because I'm not as familiar with DC, I had no idea. And so when I got into the movie and I was really enjoying it, I was kind of frustrated that I knew that was coming, because it would have been a massive shock if I had no idea.
Yeah, which for me it was. I was like, wait, what are they doing?
Yeah, and they all look just like their comic book versions too. I mean, down to which characters have beards and stuff. Like, it's very impressive, actually. If you look up the New 52 run where they are first introduced, it's very, very well done. Very nice. Good translation.
Okay, yeah. I haven't looked that up, but I can definitely believe it.
Okay, so one of the big things that I noticed watching this movie is when they're in the, I don't even know what it's called. What's, did they give a name for the Wizard Shazam's place?
I feel like they did, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay, well, when they're in that area and they're trying to escape, and it's him, it's Shazam and his family, they find a bunch of doors, and they open a few of them, and someone being not super familiar with DC, my first thought is this the multiverse? Are they bringing the multiverse into this?
Sure. I just assumed that those were, that the wizard's been looking at other worlds as well, if that makes sense, to find the one true Shazam person. So not just Earth, but like everywhere.
So like in the universe.
Correct.
Okay, so not so much alternate dimensions.
Correct.
Okay. See, my first thought was alternate dimensions. This makes sense because they're putting Shazam up as this magic hero, and that's something that none of the superhero movies have really touched yet. I mean, Ant-Man kind of does it with the quantum realm, but that's not, it doesn't feel the same thing. Doctor Strange kind of talks about it, but those alternate dimensions are not these kinds of alternate dimensions. So I thought that would be really cool, like in a sequel, if that's the direction they went, which, based on what happens at the end of the movie,
is where they could be going,
is where I think they're going to go. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I guess we talk about that now. At the end of the movie, the credits roll and we get a scene with Dr. Sivana talking to a worm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Can we just, I was like, what is happening? It's he's talking to like this caterpillar. And we actually see the caterpillar, oh, can't talk today, earlier in the movie in a like a glass jar,
mm-hmm.
and then the glass jar breaks and you see it, and I'm like, oh, okay, like this is, and you see something like red on it, almost like the necklace or something like that, and I'm like, oh, I get it, like this is, you know, some supervillain that uses creatures to do his bidding, et cetera, So after the movie, I was waiting for the two post-credit scenes. I'm Googling, like, I find out that, no, his enemy is a giant caterpillar. Like, yep. That, his enemy is just a caterpillar. Yep. And I'm like,
Not why? Even a giant one. Just a regular size one.
Not even a giant one. Just a regular size. And I left the theater, and I never came back. Like, why?
Yeah, I looked it up, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, one of his arch nemesis. And I'm like, you know, this is why characters like this have a bad rap. I mean, yeah. Like, it's one thing if your villain is Sinestro, or your villain is Doc Ock, or your villain is Zod or something.
Sure.
Nope. You get a caterpillar. But,
so, I mean, it's like, okay, like, this is why this is a kid's movie. Like, this should have been a kid's movie. It's just like, why? What? I don't get life.
Yeah. I had no idea what this was doing. And I walked out, and I think I called my brother. I called Jacob on, I think, right after I got home, because they saw it pretty much at the same time I did.
Okay.
And I said, I finally know how people feel at the end of a Marvel movie. Because, like, I always
that's
know.
That's true. I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what's going on, or at least have an idea. This thing happened, and I had no idea. When it went to the cell, I thought before he turned around, I didn't think it was Dr. Sivana. I thought maybe this was a tie-in for Black Adam, and it was a cameo by The Rock to be Black Adam.
Okay, sure.
But it wasn't, and I was very confused, and then he found this little worm, and I'm like, what? that looks like the
why
worm.
Why is there a worm?
The worm from Alice in Wonderland. Expected him to pull out a bong and just start smoking.
Oh, man. Yeah, it would have fit.
Yeah. So, this worm is called Mr. Mind.
Yes.
And basically, he puts together, I guess, a version of the, wow, I just left my mind. The Injustice League, but that's not who I'm thinking of.
No, it's
the League
Extraordinary.
That's what I was going to say. That's not it either. The Legion of Doom. Legion of Doom. It's basically a version of the Legion of Doom, but with monsters from, I think, various dimensions, from what I could tell. Their name is called Monster Society of Evil, which sounds like somewhere you go for self-help.
if you're an evil genius, that is.
Right, yeah. It's like, you ever watch How It Should Have Ended?
Yes.
It's like the villain pub.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So apparently the crocodiles that we see in one of those doors are part of this society.
Wait, no, like the crocodile gangsters.
The crocodile gangsters that are playing cards like that painting of the dogs playing poker. Yeah, them.
Interesting.
Right? Comics are weird, man.
Hmm.
So, I think it's probably a good thing to point out, these characters are from the early days of Shazam, which was published in, I think, the 30s? Let me look that up before I am wrong, and people get upset with me. He was published, not the film, I don't want the film. All right, Zach, talk for a minute.
Well, the thing about caterpillars is that they are a very unique specimen creature in and of itself. You might think a caterpillar is a sad and strange villain, but alas, that is the last thing you will think before you wake up and wrapped in your own cocoon, made by a billion caterpillars crawling over you, as one does the Wrath of Khan into your ear and nibbles your brain apart.
That reminds me of this comic I read. You know how we have Spider-Gwen now?
Yep.
She was introduced in a storyline called Edge of Spider-Verse, and it was a 5-issue miniseries, and each issue was a completely different version of Spider-Man from the ground up. And one of them was a horror version, and Peter turned into like a half spider, half human. And he basically ate his family. He put them up in cocoons.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Really dark. It's really good, though. Anyway.
Nice.
Captain Marvel was published in 1939. He actually, for those of you that don't know, was a ripoff copy version of Superman, which is why DC ended up acquiring him later in his publication.
Okay.
Yep. Also, by the way, I didn't know this. His name, Shazam, you know how in the movie they call out the strength of Solomon and blah, 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 all that stuff?
Yep.
Those actually spell his name. Solomon is S, Hercules is H,
okay,
Atlas
yes.
is A, so on and so forth. Zeus, Achilles, Shazam. And Mercury.
But isn't it? Oh, yep.
Yep.
You know, but it didn't really play into like his wisdom, which means was he not like using his wisdom?
Yeah, maybe, but wisdom, I think, also takes maturity to know, and as a child, you're not very mature.
Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
You know, I forgot to mention this, Caleb. I will say one of the things I really liked about this movie was when Billy Batson transformed into Shazam. I loved the different ways they did it. I mean, obviously, a couple times they had to do it off screen just to save some money. But my favorite shots in the movie were when he did that. So the two, I think they already show him in the trailers, but one of them is when he jumps off the building, you know, and the lightning hits him and then he flies away. That is my favorite shot in the movie. But then even in the theme park, when he's just walking to Dr. Savannah and he just says Shazam and it's like a bolt of lightning cloud and then he continues walking, like those are awesome.
Those are really cool. I like the one where he jumped off the roof. I will say though, I kind of like it when he does it off screen because it makes it feel like a real world. Like they don't have to put emphasis on it every single time it happens.
True.
You know, and you're totally right, it's definitely just to save money, but I sort of liked that. I also really liked how he didn't know how to turn back into Billy. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think about that aspect of it. But for a while, he's just stuck as Shazam. And that's funny.
No, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think that this movie is really well written. And I actually watched a video today, not about Shazam. It was about Aquaman versus the other DCEU movies. And basically what it was arguing was that the other DCEU movies are not consistent. They'll set up a problem for the character, they'll set up someone against him, and by the end of the movie, something is going on that has nothing to do with those issues. Like, it doesn't follow through with what it says. And the video was arguing that Aquaman does. And I would say this movie does as well, and that is very much to its strength and very much to its benefit. It feels like, as opposed to Justice League or Batman v Superman, which feels like they had a million people's hands in them. This feels like it was one filmmaker's vision.
Yeah.
And it came out really, really well.
Yes. Which is, I mean, I think why the DCU's moving more towards that, right? Is to have different, you know, just go to solo movies and give them to their directors and let them live out that vision.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Now, the big reference in this movie, it ends.
We have to talk about it.
With a cameo from the man himself, the Man of Steel.
That's right. So it's obviously the Man of Steel. It's distinctively the DCU Superman costume. However, we do not see Henry Cavill.
That is correct. And I know that there were a lot of conflicting rumors and stuff when this movie was being made about, is he going to make a cameo appearance? Is he not? And we kind of get both. He does and he doesn't. I guess the question is, did Henry not do it because he just didn't want to or didn't have time? Or is he actually out as Superman?
And I would say maybe he's not out. I don't know if he's out, but he definitely, if they had plans, like moving forward plans to do something different, to do the same thing, he would have been in that role, right? So it's obvious. I don't think that would have necessarily been him saying, I'll wait, but more the indication of where they're just moving as a company.
Yeah. And I mean, it's understandable that he wouldn't necessarily want to come back for this. I'm sure that they did this in about 3 or 4 hours one day. Like, it's such a small thing. It's all of, what, 5 seconds maybe, 10 seconds that he's on screen. But I really like it. And I've seen some people that are like, well, the fact that you don't see his head makes it feel jarring.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that. In fact, I felt the exact opposite. I felt like it really went with this movie because through this entire movie, we hear about Superman, we hear about Aquaman or see Aquaman, we see stuff for Batman. Like, this is a world where those heroes exist. And to a kid, those heroes are larger than life. So pulling him in and not showing his face is almost like, well, he's here, but it's still a legend. It's still a mystery. It feels like something that would have happened in, like, back in the day in some movies and stuff. It's like kind of like a joke where you don't see his face. But here, to me, it felt very genuine. Like, it felt like it fit because the movie's not about him. The movie's about Shazam. He's here as a punchline.
Yes. But, I mean, overall, though, it worked. I would say that the thing why I said this is a good movie, though, is that more things worked that didn't, right? Mm. And so Superman in this movie, he worked. Now, some people are going to say he didn't, but I think he worked. And like you said, he's a punchline in this movie. It's just it's one more of those references. It's set up as a funny moment, you know, because he walks in school. But it also sets up the movie for kind of what's in the future.
Definitely. And I think that's a great way to do it. If they want to bring Superman into the sequel or Shazam into Superman's sequel, if he has one, or into Justice League, they've already made the connection. There's not much they're going to have to work on to get them together.
Correct.
Yep. So I think that's all I have to say about this movie. I really enjoyed it. I would not mind seeing it again, actually. And I don't say that about very many movies.
No, you don't.
Yeah, so definitely see it if you haven't. All right.
Agreed.
You got anything else?
I don't.
Good. You know why?
Why?
Because that was that and this is this. It's time for what you've been up to. So, Mr. Zachary.
Billy Zachariah. Batson. Billy Batson.
Zakia.
Fine.
Zach.
It's not my name. You don't know who I am. What have I been up to? So Michaela and I have been watching Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones season 8 premieres this Sunday. By the time you're listening to this, if you listen to when it comes out, you're not a weeboo. A couple days to catch up.
I'm going to be out of town. I'm very sad.
That is sad. Well, that's okay. I'm not going to be able to see it either, because we have yet to watch season 7. So I thought we only had one season left to watch season 7. And so we got it from the library and I'm reading the back of the case and I'm like, wait, what? That's not how I remember any of it being left off. And so I looked up season 6 episodes and I read the first episode and I'm like, yep, I remember all of that happening. And I read the synopsis for the second episode and I'm like, what? this never happened.
Come to find out,
we left off on season 6, not season 7. So we are now watching through season 6 right now and are near the ending. I think the next episode is the Battle of the Bastards, which I have heard is a phenomenal episode.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, then we'll tackle season 7. So we will not be able to watch the last season live, but I believe HBO, once they air it, they will put it on their stream, on their channel, right? Like, you'll still be able to watch it or no?
Oh yeah, so the way that theirs works is the same way Hulu does it. It's available the next day on HBO Go or HBO Now, whichever one you use.
Sure.
And then it stays on there.
And so we've been saving our HBO free subscriptions, and so we are going to wait until the season 8 comes out. So we'll wait maybe a couple weeks, you know, because the first few episodes, like, I don't want them spoiled, but if I see something, it's not the end of the world. But then, like, I told Michaela, she's like, well, why can't you just wait? I'm like, look, this is huge. This is definitely going to get spoiled for me if I don't watch it now.
Yeah.
So then we're just going to sign up mine for 1 month, hers for 1 month, and finish off season 8.
Awesome. Dude, you're in for some good stuff. Season 7 feels pretty different because they're not on the books anymore, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm super ready. I'm super bummed that I'm going to be out of town. I won't be able to watch it until maybe Thursday. But I'll be watching it live other than that. So I'll make up for it.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to. You know, but other than that, that's kind of what I've been up to. But what you been up to?
Man, I feel like every time I've been on here lately, it's like, well, I haven't been up to much.
I stare at a white wall until Courtney tells I can come out of my room.
Right? I've done two things. coughing is one of them. The first thing I did, I watched The Godfather. Have you ever seen that?
I have. It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. Courtney and I tried to watch it a while back, and we stopped because we thought it was boring, and we had no idea what was going on. It wasn't what I was expecting. She was out of town this past week on spring break, so I checked it out again. On second viewing, it is really good. It really helps if you turn on the subtitles.
That's very true. It has Marlon Brando in it.
It's super hard to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, so for the movie, he put cotton balls. I don't know if you know this. He put cotton balls in each side of his mouth. That's why his cheeks are all puffed up. And then apparently, so during this movie, and this is alleged, but that the director was like, okay, I want you to do this, memorize these lines, and Marlon Brando's like, nope, I'm a world star actor, this is what I'm going to do, and these are the lines that I'm going to
heard this. They wrote it on the ceiling.
Yeah, and so he just did whatever he wanted, like, basically. Yeah.
Yeah,
or like, he didn't really memorize his lines at all. Yep.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that. It's a long movie. It's 3 hours.
It is. Yep.
But it is really good. Definitely turn on the subtitles, because it's a movie where if you don't hear what they're saying, you are going to be very confused about what's going on. And a lot of them are quiet, and the ones that aren't quiet have pretty thick accents. So, and there's a lot of names in this movie. I mean, it's a mob movie, so, you know, that makes sense. But yeah, check that out if you ever have 3 hours to spare. I was gonna watch Samurai 7, which is an Akira Kurosawa movie. But that was over 3 hours long, so I didn't. But the thing I did watch yesterday, which is something that I think a lot of people will be interested in, is a documentary called Batman and Bill. It's available on Hulu. It is a Hulu exclusive and original. And it's about, I don't know if you remember this, Zach, but a few years ago, there was this big controversy about how there was another creator for Batman, not just Bob Kane. And he was going to finally get credit. It was around 2015. I saw that and I was like, oh, cool. But, you know, I don't really know anything about that, so it's not a big deal to me. And that's what this entire documentary is about. It's about a hidden man named Bill Finger, who was, at the very least, a co-creator of Batman. And at the very most, pretty much made almost anything that you can think of that relates to Batman. Who he is, what he does, his major villains, including the Joker, the Penguin, the Riddler, all that kind of stuff, the Batcave. He's a really big deal, and he was not known for a long time, and some people kind of uncovered this, and it's a story of how they found it, and they fought for DC to add him to the credit line, and what that took, and the people he found along the way, and the entire thing. It's really good. I think it's about an hour and a half long. Definitely worth the watch if you have Hulu.
Hulu. Okay. I was just going to ask. I was like, and what's that on again? Okay.
Yeah. Hulu.
So if, yeah. So if you have Hulu, look it up.
All right, man.
Interesting.
I think that's it.
Well, you've, even though you've been busy, you've been up to more than it sounds like I've been up to.
Yeah. I guess so. Cool. All right. Well, short episode this week, but that's not a bad thing.
It is not a bad thing because
because your time life. Is valuable.
Because life. It will give you more time to go to, I'm talking is so Shazam. To Shazam.
All right. Well, we do want to say thank you to Taylor Poole, who did our opening intro music. He's pretty awesome. He's a great guy. You can find him at taylorpoolemusic.com. That's TaylorPoole music.com.
And some guys that are just as electrifying as Shazam himself is the CNC Power Hour. If I'm not mistaken, they have a lightning bolt in their logo. But they do.
They do
games. They will stream Twitch on games, and sometimes they will talk about podcasts on Magic the Gathering.
Sort of, kind of. They play Magic. They play
Magic. I don't know if you caught that. I just flipped.
They play Magic.
Just say yes.
Also, while you're at it, check out our website, cuzwernerds.com, where you can find all of our episodes and a little bit about us.
Oh, and because we gave you some time back in your life, go to iTunes, rank us 5 stars, tell your friends, tell your family members, tell your dog. You should tell his dog friends, unless your dog's a loner. And in that case, shame on you. Shame on you for raising a loner dog.
Thanks for listening to 'Cause We're Nerds. Stay up to date with other nerdy news and podcast drops by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also leave us comments and feedback at cuzwernerds@gmail.com. That's CUZWERENERDS at gmail.com. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Next week, you're in for a familiar ride with a new coat of paint as the Hellboy reboot roars into theaters. Is it able to stand on its own, or is it a pale imitation of Ron Perlman's original performance? Find out next week on 'Cause We're Nerds. And as always, stay nerdy. Last time we did this, I went long and you went short. And this time, I went short and you went long.
One of these days, we'll be in unison. But today's not this day.
But today, but not today. Rich, whatever, but it not is. Today.
Whatever
it is.
Because we're nerds, the most quotable, the most quotable people, we quote stuff.
It's on our shirts. 'Cause we're nerds, we quote stuff.
That should be our shirts. 'Cause we're nerds, we quote stuff.
Sounds like you're in a laundry room.
I'm not. Can you hear the laundry?
That's what it sounds like.
That's just my heavy breathing.